Amen?
Amen.
That felt good, didn't it? Praise the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. You know, I'm sure I speak for Rich and for Matt. This experience that we've had with you has been just wonderful. Our hearts go out to you here and the great work that you're doing, and your pastor and his wife and Jimmy and the rest of you who make this place what it is. I know we've all been glad to be here. And our part of being able to share and encourage you has been an honor for us. And we thank the Lord for you guys. You always have a part and a place and also a picture in my heart of this place and what our great Lord is doing through his love. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the experiences that we have. Thank you, Lord, that we get to come to places like this and encourage and share and give your word and perspective. Lord, I pray for this community church, and I pray for this area, and I pray for these wonderful people here. Let them be, Lord, a light in the darkness. Let them be hope for those who feel hopeless. Let them be disciples of Jesus, sharing your truth and your gospel. Bless us now as we look in your word, Lord. Give us understanding. Show us, Lord, what it is to be connected in difficult times. Help us to hold to you. Connected. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 is going to be our focus. One verse, and that'll be verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. God is speaking through the prophet, through Isaiah, wanting the people to know that it's going to be okay, no matter what the outside appearances may dictate. Everything's going to be okay if they believe, verse 10. That they are to fear not, verse 10, 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Her name was Baby Jessie, and this was over 20 years ago, 1987, in Texas. This little three-year-old girl had an abandoned well in their backyard that they never knew was there. She stepped into this well, went down 20 feet into the ground. They couldn't access her to try to get her out from the top. They would have to dig around the well. The emergency people would have to dig around the well and retrieve her from the bottom. It was 53 hours this little girl was in this well. And as her mother leaned over, she can hear Baby Jessie crying, calling, "Mama, Mama." Someone got an idea. They took a little speaker, gave Jessie's mama a microphone. They lowered the speaker down into the hole, and the fireman said, "Talk to her." And her mother spoke to Baby Jessie. "Jessie, it's going to be okay. Jessie, they're coming for you." She can hear Jessie crying. "Jessie, don't cry. It's not going to be long." And as she talked to her, eventually, they couldn't hear Jessie anymore. It worried not only her mother, but even the emergency workers there. But as they lowered a microphone down toward Jessie, she was okay. She was asleep. And when they took her out, she was just so happy, obviously, to be out, but also unscarred. Things didn't change for Jessie until she heard a voice that she learned to trust in, a voice that she learned to identify with, a voice that had never let her down before. It was the voice of her mother. For you and I, it's the voice of our God. And in the wells of life, in conditions in life where you find yourself buried in, places that you can't change, situations you can't manipulate, areas in your life and my life come all the time where we're hurting, where we feel helpless, where we feel unsafe. God wants to bring words to us through His Word, through His Spirit, that will cause us to rest like little Jesse and move through this thing until God delivers us in His time. I want to talk about being connected, staying connected in difficult times, in hard times. And I believe they're just very clearly here. It's just clearly here in five statements that are made here in verse 10. Statements that God makes to us through His Word that give us an understanding of Him and how He wants to come into our lives and bring us through. That's the thing. That's the key thing. Bring us through the difficult, straining, suffering, hard times that Matt was talking about too in his Word today. I believe it's important. I believe it's vital for we who are Christians to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I really believe our witness in many ways is validated through our strength and trust in God. And the ability that God gives us to bear the hardships of life. Not necessarily in perfection. You and I hurt and cry. You and I feel the pain too. But there's something about being able to bear it. Even with tears, Jesus bore the cross. And there's crosses that you and I have to bear too. There are things that come into our lives that seemingly cripple us, hinder us, cause us to move back, cause us not to move forward. And it's only because a lot of times we don't hear God saying, like little Jesse's mother, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God says it in a great way here in chapter Isaiah 41:10, that it's going to be okay. And He says five things to them that I want to just take note of, then we're done today. Number one, right there in the verse, the first thing I want you to notice in staying connected in difficult times is God says to us, first off, in priority, number one, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Yesterday, Matt talked about the presence of God. The Bible says this, that in His presence, there's fullness of joy. That word joy is not giddy kind of laughter. That joy means security. That joy means there's a calm delight. That joy means I know that even though the world may be crashing around me, I'm okay. That is only achieved, like Matt was talking about last night, in the presence of God. In His presence is fullness of security. And you and I knowing, like He says here in the first line of verse 10, we can fear not when we know that He is with us. That His presence is with us. And His presence brings that security. You and I being aware of, conscious to, the presence of God in our lives is vital. And this great book years ago was written called Practice the Presence of God. And man, you and I need to practice our experience the presence of God. We need to move into the reality of knowing, yes, God is in this place. Gosh, what a great word Rich was talking about when he talked about Jacob. And Jacob and all his situation. And he just connived, like Rich was teaching us the other day. And just that whole Jacob. Man, Jacob has a dream. Sees a ladder. Even in his midst of his scheming, God is merciful, like Rich said to him. Jacob wakes up from the dream and says these words, surely the Lord is in this place, but I knew it not. Jacob said, God is with me, but I didn't even know it. I wonder if that's you today. You do know, you do believe that in your situation, in your well, in your circumstance, in your condition, surely the Lord is in this place. You believe he's there. But you really don't know he's there. You really don't sense him or feel him there. And I want you to be encouraged to look for a sensitivity that maybe you hadn't had before, or maybe it needs to be heightened and brought to a more sensitive level to where you're aware of, yes, the Lord is in this place, and I know it, and I feel him, and I know he's there. I know that the Lord is in my situation. He's in my circumstance. It's amazing in Psalm 51, David's confessing. He's confessing about a great sin in his life. And it's amazing, in priority, David is stressing and communicating and writing down and saying to God what's really important to him in this particular issue. And it's amazing to me, maybe to you too, that David would be concerned. So he says it this way: take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't let your presence lead me. It's about being in the presence of God. My God, Jesus says, why have you forsaken me? I don't feel your presence anymore. It's a scary thing to not be able to be sensing the presence of God. No matter what you're going through, even in the good stuff, even in the good stuff, you want to know that God is with you. Another guy in the Bible, the Old Testament, was Samson. It's amazing. Samson toyed with or played around, fooled around with God's presence. And he was really cocky about how God was always consistent on the scene. He gets that clip, that haircut from Delilah. And it says that he stood up like oftentimes, but it says this: but the Lord had left him and he was unaware of it. See, you and I start toying around with God's presence, and I'm not sure when his presence is there and when it's not. Samson's a good case study and someone to learn with that. He says, fear not here. Fear not, for I am with you. I'm with you. God is with you. He desires that. He wants to dwell with you. One of the guys were talking about that this weekend. He wants to dwell with you. You know, it's one thing that God loves us, and man, I know he loves you. I know he loves me. But it's another thing to think, you know what, he also likes you. Isn't that kind of cool? He likes you. He enjoys you. He's not at all a God who detests you or feels like you're, ugh, step back. No, he's a God that wants you close. John, the disciple John, did something really, really weird, but yet very important. They were having the Last Supper there, and near the end of this thing, John laid his head on Jesus' chest. Wow. That's getting close. And I want you to think about you and your life and your devotion and your walk and your relationship with God. Are you moving toward having that kind of, man, intimacy? That kind of devotion to where you're just putting your head on his chest. Or like we heard from Matt last night, being able to just sit like Mary at Jesus' feet. So often you and I are the Martha, like we talked about last night. You are the one that's pushing things, getting things done. But man, the best part is to be right at his feet. So many Christians miss that. So many Christians miss that. And what we do is when we miss that kind of intimacy, that kind of devotion, then you and I end up not connected in him being with us. Now he says here that we are to fear not. And the reason is, for he's with us. Fear will plague your life and mine when I'm not sure that God is with me. The preacher tells the story of a funeral he did for one of the local mobsters. And at the end of the funeral, one of the gangsters came up to him and said, "Hey, preacher, let me show you something." And he opened his coat and there was a gun there. And he said, "This is my security." And the preacher looked at the man in the eyes and then pointed at the gun and said, "Well, what happens if that jams on you?" And he said, "Well, that's why I came to you. Will you pray for me?" No matter what you may think your security is, it's never going to be bigger than God. It's never going to be greater than God. And a lot of times you and I are fearful, and rightly so. Rightly so fearful when you're not sure God is on the scene. I encourage you, be afraid if you're not sure God's with you. In any part or place in life, whether you're moving into marriage or you're moving to having children, if you're not sure the Lord is with you, you got my permission to be afraid. Look at him laughing back there in the back. What are you people drinking back there? It wasn't that funny. So we went. You have my permission, because I think it's important to never think that I can just move, that I can just move without God. I'm going to tell you this. I don't spiritualize everything, but I spiritualize a lot. And I tell you, I'm limping today, because I know that it was the Lord waking me up to something. Let me tell you what it was. It was just this carelessness in ministry, this moving in ministry. I can handle that. I can do that. Oh, yeah, give me that. What's next? And it was a carelessness that had me move without his condoning and consent. And it wasn't that that I wasn't supposed to do these particular things. I just did them with a subtle pride. Didn't matter if it was subtle. It was still pride. But a pride that said, bring it on. Tell my secretary, okay, what's on the docket today? And I got very, very comfortable without really consulting God, even what I do for God. And it only takes one fall to realize, a fall, slip a little water, falls, boom, changes my whole life. Because when you're looking up at God, that's the best view all the time. And I want you to think about in your life, are you afraid of something? It's probably because, no doubt, you believe that God's not necessarily with you in it. I want you to know he's with you, and he'll guide you and lead you. Number two, the next thing it said there, be not dismayed, for I'm your God. You don't need to fear, number one, because I'm with you. Then God tells them and tells us, don't be dismayed, don't be confused, for I am your God. I think one of the things that we get confused with, and you and I kind of rattle in our minds more than we should, or question in our minds more than we should, is that the validation of God's love for us. You really got to know that God loves you. You really, really need to know that. It has to surpass your brain and enter your soul. Your soul is how you see stuff. Your heart is how you feel. Obviously, your mind is how you reason. Your soul is how you see. It's the vision of you. It's the vision of how you perceive things. If you and I see things not through the love of God, if it's not filtered, I'm seeing stuff through the love of God, in my life, in the world, if I don't see it through the love of God, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to struggle with me and all the insecurities that I have and you have. I'm going to struggle with also how I deal with things in the world. It has to go through his love. And I'm dismayed or I'm confused when I get to a place of wondering, does God really love me? He loves us. The Bible says this. He loves us with an everlasting love. An unconditional, consistent love. And let the cross of Calvary always validate that love. Let the cross of Calvary always take you to that place of recognizing that love and realizing that love. Because so often, if I don't have that love as a, I guess, a filter or what I'm seeing through, I'm gonna question God's care for me. Not only his care, his concern for me. And situations in the world, situations when dead ones, when things die in my life, and God help us, when loved ones pass away in our lives, I'm going to use now, without this filter of love, I'm going to start determining on why I think this happened. And then I end up giving God a bad rep. People do it all the time. They're in my office all the time. People who come, Christians who are confused, are Christians who don't move in the reality of God's love for them. No, they move in what's happening in my life. And now I dictate my life and its worth and its value. And I have a perspective of life outside of God's love. Man, I struggle. I struggle with me. Now I struggle with my marriage. Now I struggle with my children. I struggle with my career pursuits and everything. Nothing works outside of knowing God loves me. I got to start right there. It's almost getting back to being just simple, like that old simple song we used to sing in children's ministry. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I need the Bible of God's word to validate his love for me and move in the security of that love. It's no wonder Jesus said in John 15, abide in my love. It's no wonder that his half-brother Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. You got to keep yourself. You and I have to keep ourselves attached, connected to the love of God. And without being connected, without having that attachment, you and I are going to struggle. We're going to struggle. I just don't have it in me, nor do you have it in you, to stand firm in this shaky world without knowing something like God loves me. My wife, and nor should I look to her to do this, is to love completeness in my life. I can't expect that from her. She's human. You can't give it. Let me talk to you. I love the children around here, and they're running. They open up doors. I like that. And taking their picture. I love the children around here. And I tell you, let me talk to you young parents. I'm 53 years old. I can be your daddy, okay? So listen to me. I want you to not do something that I know it's really common for you to do. I ain't seen it done here, but I know it happens. I don't want you to lie to your kids. What are you talking about? What do you mean lie? Please don't tell your kids this lie, that you will always be there for them. You can't promise them that. How dare you tell them you will always be there for them? Really? I just buried a 23-year-old girl 6 months ago. Left two kids with her husband. Cancer. How can you promise that? You can't promise that. You got to communicate to them someone greater and bigger than you. Amen?
Amen.
Because you can't promise them that, Daddy. You can't promise them that, Mommy. But you can give a promise from the Lord that they don't need to be confused no matter what happens. Even if you are taken away, they don't need to be confused because they have a God. Because he says, I will be your God, he says. You don't be confused, for I will be your God. I am the one that's going to be the one that take care of you and have you secure. And boy, we need to be encouraging everybody with that. Everyone with that, having that sense of security that comes in knowing that it's the Lord. We had a great panel discussion yesterday, and I tell you, I didn't want to talk. I didn't even want to bring mine up because I'm really, really working through some stuff. The question was, what is the hardest thing you find out in your life as a Christian? And it was really been hard for me to deal with and accept things that God has withheld from me. And it's not God saying, no, you can't have that, or no, this won't be easy for you as it is for someone else. It's just the fact is that God has made it clear. No, Thomas, And me being able to say, okay, Lord, you're my Lord. I'm going to trust you. Hasn't been an easy thing. And I know I'm talking to everyone here with this. Whether it's you wanting to have a child, or whether it's you wanting to have a promotion at your job, or whether it's you wanting to be what God's called you to be, and it's just you're just held up and it's difficult. It's difficult, the things that God withholds from us. Even though it's not bad that we want this, or carnal, or will it be worldly that we want it? But no, it's something that the Bible seems to give a promise to this kind of stuff. But yet God said, for this season, for this time, for this incident, in this case, no. That's my answer, no to you. And he didn't even say no, maybe not now. That's what our parents used to say. Mommy, can I have a horse? Just to keep me quiet. No, not now. Maybe one day I'll get a horse. Never got that horse. God doesn't do that. He doesn't play those games with us. He just says, no, trust me. Matt and I were talking about this morning how we're complete in Jesus. We're complete in Jesus. And that goes for every area of our lives. But I get confused, like it says here. I'm dismayed when I forget he is my God. And I can get dismayed or confused about little stuff. Like meeting somebody for the first time. And instead of enjoying it and being excited I've met a new person, my mind says, they think I'm fat. Where'd that come from? It's just his mind that thinks that people are looking at my stomach. Now you're looking at it. Or whether it's something like that, like my body and whatever is imperfect about my body, or whatever, my life. School wasn't fun for me. I'm glad I got one here. And I just, just enough to get by. And in my church, I can be an English teacher's nightmare in communicating the Queen's English. Lady came up and introduced herself to me. They were new at the church. And I said, what do you do? She said, I'm an English teacher at the local college here. And I said, whoa, we had fun this morning, didn't we? And she said, yeah, we did. But more than that, Pastor, what you said may have not been English right, but it was powerful. You know why? Because he's my God. I don't have to be confused, and you don't either, about your imperfections or your lack of education or your body size or whatever. Don't be dismayed, for he is your God. He is the one that's in control. What a blessing to know that. Look at this third one here. Three more. He says, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. Boy, what a blessing. I will strengthen you. Whatever you need to bear, he'll give you the strength to handle this. It's hard to see it in the beginning. It's always hard to see it in the beginning. And it's okay to see it hard in the beginning. Okay? But you can't see it hard forever. You got to gain strength and perspective soon enough. It's one thing to mourn, but you can't mourn forever. And there are things that are dead in your life that God has said maybe no to, or maybe there's pits that you're in, like baby Jessica, or whatever it is for you. There's a time to mourn and a time to not mourn. You know, it's amazing, in the Old Testament, it's amazing. They gave him 30 days to mourn. You know that? Yeah, 30 days, that was it. God said, you can mourn for 30 days, after that you get going, get moving. You know why? Because we'll mourn forever. You and I will mourn and cry over something and just waddle over something and we won't move forward. God says, I'll strengthen you. I'll strengthen you. I think about that mourning thing. Well, a girl in our church, Jasmine, gosh, it's horrible. Woke up one morning and her 2-year-old daughter's dead in the bed with her. died right in the bed with her. Chase was just everything of Jasmine's life. You know that the child is with Jesus. But even to say that at the funeral, while you're looking at a little baby two-year-old in a box behind you, I don't have any words of comfort. Even though this child's not in this box there with the Lord, I'm looking at Jasmine, who's, when I look in her eyes, she looks hollow, like I'm looking into a tunnel. We buried that little girl. I did all I could to encourage. Did all I could to give symbols. I released 50 balloons and saying, Chase, here's something for you to play with. And I released all these balloons at the grave, trying to get a perspective of knowing that we're not putting Chase in the ground. We're celebrating her with Jesus. But I look over at Jasmine. She's hollow, just a tunnel. Jasmine had started doing something the very day after we put Chase in the ground. Jasmine was visiting that gravesite every day and did it for over 2 months till I heard she had been doing that. Not in some sternness, Jasmine's like a daughter to me, but just my love for Jasmine. I knew in my heart that it's too long. That's too much. I heard the times that she goes after work, she'll go by there. I drove to that cemetery before she got there. And here she comes driving up, and I stood on the curb right before she has to step on the curb to start heading towards where Chase's grave is. And I stopped her. And I said, no. No, you've done this enough. There was confrontation with me and her at a graveyard. But it was only when she realized this, God can strengthen me, that she was able to see this thing with Chase dying in its full term. Full term is this, her being able to release it and release Chase to Jesus. We didn't do it at the funeral. She didn't do it till months after that. But eventually she was able to let it go. And I don't mean that carelessly or it just being Chase. This is a big deal. I'm not denying that's a big deal, a child. I've never lost one. But I know it was important for Jasmine to gain strength through this. As soon as she gained strength, she was pregnant again with a little boy named DJ, who was just a wonderful, wonderful little dude. After that, she got pregnant again, and now she has twins. That's God. God does that kind of stuff. Not to reward, just to be God. And now three of them little jokers running around. And it's not God saying, oh, you trusted me, now I'll give you a baby. That ain't the moral of this. This has to do with a woman who came to grips with something that she had to grips with this. I had to let it go. And I had to go on with my life for the sake of the three kids that God now has given me. I don't know what you have to let go. For Jasmine, it was Chase. I don't know what it is for you. For me, it's multiple things that I have to let go and then gain strength from God in. He says, I will strengthen you. I'll give you the strength you need to bear it. I'll give you the strength you need to go through it. God is the one that helps. And what a blessing that he helps us do that. Number four, yes, I will help you. What an interesting statement there in verse 10. Excuse me. Yes, I will help you. The word yes, affirmative, for sure. The reason this is said is because the reason that Israel's in trouble, for the most part, they're in trouble because of their own doing. They didn't just, like baby Jessica, just fall in a hole. No, they dug the hole and jumped in by their actions. And there are things that you and I have brought on ourselves. And God says this, the loving God says this to you. Yes, I'll help you anyway. Isn't that a blessing? Say amen, because I know you want to, huh? Amen. Does that feel good? Say it again, amen.
Amen.
All right, I know you want to say it. It's a loving God who says, yes, yes, I will help you in spite of the very fact is the reason you're here is because of you. I want you to accept something. We sung about it just last song that Chris led us in was that his mercy, that help me to really see mercy, understand mercy. And I want you to be able to encourage you, accept mercy. Accept mercy. A lot of people don't accept it well. I don't accept it well. My gosh, I had to get a wheelchair because I needed to take me from flight to flight. It's from Madrid Airport. My gosh, there's a whole city at airport. I am glad I had this little lady pushing me. And I tell you, I got over my pride with this little Spanish lady pushing me. And she knew just enough English and I knew just enough Spanish to enjoy the ride. But it's hard. Your pride gets in the way. See, it's a man thing for most of us. It's a man thing. We say we're all right when we're not. How you doing? I'm all right. You're lying. You're bleeding. Let me wipe your nose. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm all right. That's just a little bone showing. Goofy. We're goofy like that. And it takes real faith to be able to say, I need mercy. And there are things in your life and mine that need to be touched by mercy. But I tell you this, our pride, we can just hold it. We can just hold it. Jesus is not going to play tug of war with you and with me on stuff that we got to release to him. And he wants our whole life, right? You know that. We talked about that. Someone talked about it a couple of days ago about the rich man, you know? Jesus is not going to fight with you over that stuff. You know, Jesus let that guy walk. Jesus say, okay, wait, don't go. Half. Give half. I know I said all, but you know what? I was just doing what I was supposed to do, but I'll take half. No, he won't take half. He won't take half of what you and I give. He wants it all. And today he's asking for it all too today. He's asking for you and me to give all to him and not expect that he'll just take a small part of it. He wants all our devotion, all of our life. Again, this whole thing of he will help us. It's about receiving that mercy and letting people help you, letting people come into your life, letting God use people into your life. Oh, my gosh. It's going to help you stronger, help you be stronger. I'm so glad many of you have done it here. And Matt's just been a blessing, man. I'll take that for you. I'll grab it for you. And got to learn to do that. Or I'm not going to get better. And there are things in your life, guys, you're not going to get better until you let mercy touch where you are. You can't fix it on your own. And time is really not your friend. Because this is something that's not going to more just take time. This takes God. And it's him moving through that. And letting him do that in your heart, in your soul, whatever it may be for you. The last one, number 5, look what he says here. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. His strong hand. I will uphold you. Whatever shots you're taking in life, God will uphold you. And in these situations come where you're feeling, boy, the wind's knocked out of you, God will help you stand. He'll help you be your stand. Ronald Reagan is one of my favorite presidents. And one of the reasons is because that man took a bullet. I've been hit before by some big guys. But I ain't never been shot. I figure if I get shot, I am falling down. I'm not going to keep going. Ronald Reagan gets shot, shoves him into the limousine. Blood's come out of his mouth before they get to the hospital. So they know something's happened, something's in. And they said, we're going to bring a wheelchair. I'm going to bring a bed out. He says, no, you're not. I'm not getting in that. He got out the limousine, and it was probably like where the door is there, right where Ken's sitting there. He walked because all the press was there and all the nurses and doctors there, and he walked from that limousine, and he was saying, like, how you doing? Hey. And he walked all the way back. And as soon as he got behind the doors, they closed the doors of the emergency room. As soon as they closed the doors, he collapsed. But you know what? For him, it was important for him. He thought it for the sake of the nation that he show himself strong. And there's a strength that you and I can show too. No matter what shots we take, for the sake of our spouses, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our witness to the world, he's going to have to uphold us. You can't afford to drop in some matters in your life. You can't afford, and I can't either. Sometimes you got to take that walk and let God help you walk right there to the end. It is so important. We sung a great song. I never heard that song before, Chris. We sung, and one of the words, I wrote it down, one of the words in the song was, help me see the unseen. Help me see the unseen. Help me see what's not visible. Help me see the invisible. And the invisible hands of God, I talked about earlier, those hands that were there when you were born are the hands that will uphold you all your life. I don't know what you face tomorrow. I don't know what I face, but I can have this sure understanding. God will uphold us with his righteous right hand. You got to see. You got to see that when you don't see it. You got to have the faith to walk by that and not by sight. We have a place called Disney World in Florida in America. And it was built and completed after Walt Disney, the designer of the place, died. And after it was completed, Mrs. Disney, his wife, and one of the architects stood on this platform as the day they dedicated the place years ago. And the architect, young man, who had pretty much done all the drafting for the place, he looked over at Mrs. Disney and said, "It's so sad, ma'am." And she said, "What?" "It's so sad that Mr. Disney never got to see it." And she chuckled and said, "Oh, young man, the reason you see it now," she said, "is because he saw it." And I'm not talking about sight over mind. I'm not talking about anything like that. But you need to see the invisible. Because you're going to feel like Matt was talking about, all alone. But you're not all alone. Like Jacob, the Lord is in this place, but I knew it not. And you're going to have to let God give you eyes that can see beyond your perspective. Because if you don't, you're just going to collapse. And you're going to fall. You got to be able to see. Let me close with this. And I close with this very horrible story because we're about to eat. And I want to have one up on Matt. Matt really got gross talking about that stuff he was talking about. But I'm sure to gross you out even further with this one. Let it be known, this is what I leave Spain with, and that's my seasick story. I don't know if you've ever been seasick. I fixed that now because there's a drug called Dramamine we have in America. You may have it here. And Dramamine is from God. First trip I ever been on a boat, men's fellowship at our church. We charter 50 guys on this boat. We got guitars. It's ready. The boat sets off, man. I ain't never been on a boat before like this. It sets off, and we're singing, and this is great. And seasickness is amazing because it just kind of creeps on you. Seasickness starts like a marble, you know, small little marble, like a gumball. And while we're worshiping God, lifted my hands to Jesus. I'm not afraid. He's my God. I'm not confused. He is my Lord. Then I feel the marble. People have told me about this, but I said, no, not me. Heck no. Nah. I serve God. I'm a pastor. I don't need drama. What? Drama me? Drama where? No. I'm okay, Loretta. I can deal with this. The marble in time now swells to the size of a soccer ball. I know now this is not good. My hands that were lifting, praising Jesus, now have fallen. And I'm wondering if God even loves me. I excuse myself from the worship and from the presence of God. I could see it, Matt, the presence of God. It's there. I'm not there anymore. I go to the stern, the bow, whatever the part of the boat, it doesn't matter now. I just got to get away from these people because this is going to be ugly. The soccer ball has now in my neck. I can start tasting food I ate yesterday. In case someone comes by, I lean over the boat as if I was praying. I don't want anybody to think that I'm doing anything nasty. And I had never thrown up like that before in my life. It was like Bill Cosby, the comedian, says, it was like lockjaw. Hey! And then as soon as I think I'm done, you okay? The closest thing I can come to for prayer is Jesus, kill me. Just kill me right here. Now I'm starting to throw up body parts I think I should keep. That was a lung. They're fishing now on the boat. Come on, Pastor Thomas. I know why they're catching fish. You why? I'm feeding them. I finally get this, all this stuff out. And there's only one thing, because you know what, this is a 5-hour trip, man. We ain't been on an hour yet. Got a long time to go, Rich. The only thing that gave me peace, the only thing that satisfied my soul, was if I squinch my eyes real tight, I could see land. And I knew one day I'll be back there. That's my throw up story, and I hope you're still hungry. But the moral of the story is you gotta squint sometime to see. Or you get real sick, don't you? God says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be confused, I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to help you too. Even though it's your fault, you're here. But also, I'm going to uphold you with my strong, righteous right hand. Connect with God, even when it hurts. You're going to find yourself back home on land soon. Let's pray. Father, thank you.